Chokehold Harvest, The Black Veil Chronicles. Written by C.A. Bainham. Narrated by Glenn Allen. Harper squinted through the windshield as the road narrowed, the pavement cracked and uneven under the thin layer of mist. Her headlights sliced through the dense fog that seemed to roll in waves off the fields, thick enough that the world beyond the beams didn't seem to exist. The Veil's spine. A long, winding stretch of road that seemed to stretch forever, coiling through Black Veil County like a serpent. She hadn't passed another car in hours. The absence of the taillights or headlights in the distance gnawed at her nerves. She glanced at her phone again, though she already knew the answer. No bars. No signal. Of course not. Naomi had warned her before she left. Her editor's voice echoed in her mind, sharp and irritated.
Harper, this isn't just another small-town ghost story. People have disappeared out there. I'm really worried about you. For Christ's sake, Harper, you're not invincible.
Neither are the people in Hollow Creek.
Harper had shot back.
They live their day to day, and that is the point.
Now, gripping the steering wheel until her knuckles turned white, Harper wondered if Naomi might have been right. The stories about Black Veil County were legendary. Ghost hunters and urban explorers vanished without a trace, and cryptic online videos ended with screams, and sudden blackouts. Harper tightened her grip. She wasn't some amateur thrill-seeker with a camera. She was different. She was a journalist, and wasn't here for the red fog or the footage of those explorers who disappeared months ago. Still, the memory of that video clung to her like the fog outside. She could see it even now, the shaky footage, the figures moving in the mist, the screen cutting out after one final distorted phrase, "Welcome to Black Veil County." Harper shivered, rolling down the window to clear her head. The air outside was sweet, cloyingly so, like overripe fruit on the verge of rot. She wrinkled her nose and rolled the window back up. The first sign of Hollow Creek came suddenly, materializing out of the fog like an apparition. A crooked wooden post leaned precariously to one side, its paint peeling in long, jagged strips. A battered sign swung gently in the breeze, the faint creak cutting through the oppressive silence. "Welcome to Hollow Creek, where the land provides." The air changed as she drove past the sign. It wasn't just sweet now. It was heavier, layered with the faint metallic tang of earth after a rainstorm. Harper inhaled sharply, coughed, and shook her head. She blamed the long hours in the car. The cornfields stretched endlessly on either side of the road, golden stalks of grain swaying under the weight of a stillness that didn't feel natural. Harper caught movement in the corner of her eye. A figure walking among the grain. Slowing down the car, she scanned the rows. But there was nothing there. Just the grain, moving gently in the breeze. Hollow Creek looked like something out of an old photograph. Wooden houses with peeling paint and sagging porches, their shutters hanging loose on rusted hinges. Fences leaned into the dirt at odd angles, their slats weathered and cracked as though they'd long given up the effort to stand upright. A single general store stood at the heart of the town, its windows clouded with grime and its hand-painted sign faded to near illegibility. The door creaked open and shut with an occasional gust of wind, though no one seemed to go in or out. The streets were uneven, more dirt than gravel, their surface riddled with wheel ruts and muddy puddles that reflected the overcast sky. Here and there, Harper noticed small details that hinted at the town's peculiar character. Bundles of dried corn tied to porch posts, strange symbols etched into the wooden eaves of houses, and clusters of pale mushrooms sprouting in the shadows where the buildings met the earth. The air was unnaturally still, heavy with the cloying scent of something sweet and rotting. It mingled with the faint and acrid tang of smoke, likely drifting from a distant hearth. A single lantern flickered weakly above the store, its light casting long, crooked shadows that danced across the warped planks of the building. Harper slowed as she drove into the town center, her headlights catching fleeting movements, curtains snapping shut, shadows shifting. She wasn't sure if she'd imagined them, but it felt as though the whole town was watching her, sizing her up. Even the grain in the surrounding fields seemed to lean closer, swaying just slightly out of sync with the breeze. It was quiet. Too quiet. She parked in front of a two-story building with a hand-painted sign reading, "The Golden Sheaf." The inn looked as though it had been standing for centuries. The wood was darkened with age and streaked with moss. One of the shutters dangled precariously from a single hinge. Harper hesitated, her hand resting on the door handle, shivers running down her spine. The air outside seemed heavier than it had in the car. She told herself she was being ridiculous, her mind playing tricks on her. Then she stepped out of the car. The innkeeper was standing on the porch, leaning against the railing with a cigarette dangling from his fingers. He was wiry, his frame thin and angular, as if time had worn him down to the essentials. His hollow cheeks were shadowed with faint stubble, and his sunken eyes, sharp and restless, flicked over Harper with a mild curiosity that felt more like evaluation. The cigarette between his fingers, glowed weakly in the foggy evening air, its tendrils of smoke curling upward, before dissolving into the thick mist that clung to the town. "Evening," he said, his voice gravelly, like it had been dragged over broken glass and rarely used.
"Hi,"
Harper said, forcing a smile that didn't quite reach her eyes. She shifted her bag on her shoulder.
"Do you have a room?"
The innkeeper's gaze lingered on her a moment too long before he nodded toward the door.
"Only one we've got."
He tapped ash from his cigarette onto the porch railing.
"You here for the harvest?"
The question caught her off guard. Harper blinked, her fingers tightening on the strap of her bag.
"No, just passing through. I'm a journalist."
The innkeeper raised an eyebrow, the corners of his mouth twitching as though deciding whether to smile.
"Figures."
He took a long drag, his lips curling slightly around the cigarette before he stubbed it out on the railing with deliberate slowness. Without waiting for a reply, he pushed the door open and jerked his head toward the dim interior.
"Come on in."
The inn smelled faintly of mildew, and its dampness clung to the air like a second skin. The wooden ceiling beams were darkened with age, their edges softened by a thin layer of dust. A single, crackling fireplace in the far corner added a muted glow to the room, its warmth diffusing the damp chill, but doing little to dispel the shadows that crowded the corners. The floor groaned beneath Harper's boots as she stepped inside, the sound seeming to echo in the stillness. She followed the innkeeper to a narrow counter, where an old-fashioned bell sat tarnished and unused. The counter itself was scarred with years of use. Rings from countless mugs of coffee or beer, knife marks gouged into the surface, and what looked like a faint smear of dried blood near one edge.
"Rooms upstairs, last door on the right,"
he said, sliding a tarnished brass key across the counter with a metallic scrape. His bony fingers lingered on the key for a second before he withdrew them.
"Dinner's at 6.
"Thanks,"
Harper said, hesitating.
"I heard people have gone missing around here. Have you seen anything unusual?"
The innkeeper's face darkened, the faint traces of humor vanishing in an instant. His thin lips pressed into a tight line, and he studied her with an intensity that made the hairs on the back of her neck stand up.
"Folks wander too far sometimes,"
he said, after a long pause, his voice low and even. He glanced toward the window, where the golden fields swayed faintly in the breeze.
"This land, it's not always kind to strangers."
He didn't elaborate, and Harper certainly didn't want to press him. The way he said it, calm and certain, felt more like a warning than an explanation.